Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're not going to read the entire text passage. I'll read to you our text. And then you can just follow along as we work our way through verses 26 through 38. Our text is verse 35, which says, "The angel answered, speaking to Mary, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you.'" Seven words. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit's connection to Christmas, and more specifically, I want to talk to you about Mary's miracle. And Heavenly Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, and I ask that this that you gave me in my study, Holy Spirit, you would now teach to this people through my voice. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think it would be fair to say that the theme of our church this past calendar year has been the Holy Spirit. And on Thanksgiving Eve, I brought a message titled, "Under the Influence." That message reminded us once again that the Holy Spirit exists for what reason? To partner with us. He partners with us in all circumstances and situations of life. I can honestly tell you, I thought that message would be the concluding message concerning the Holy Spirit until I started to prepare for the Christmas season. I no more than sat down and began to read the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ, and guess who showed up? The Holy Spirit. I know the story hasn't changed, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. Are you aware that without the Holy Spirit, Christmas wouldn't be? I know we all know the story. The angelic visits to both Mary and Joseph. The trip to Bethlehem. The inn being full. The barn being available. The birth of the baby in the barn. The announcements to the shepherds. The visit by the wise men. It's a story we relive every December. We know it so well we have it memorized. And as we read it and walk through it, we certainly aren't expecting any new revelations to come upon us. But then, as we expose ourselves to the same old story, something fresh and something filled with life comes to us. Well, at least it did for me. I saw as never before the Holy Spirit's connection to Christmas. So, for the first two Sundays of December, I want to talk to you under that title, the Holy Spirit's connection to Christmas, through Mary today and Joseph next Sunday. Today, Mary's miracle. Next Sunday, Joseph's journey. Our passage starts at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Look up here, please. Luke is a doctor, and Luke connects the timing of this with a physical happening or event. Luke establishes the exact timeline of this instance. It was in the sixth month of Mary's cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Again, look up here. There's much irony in this verse. Nazareth was a remote Jewish village. Today it is not. I go there every 2 years. I've watched the growth of the city of Nazareth over 25 years. It's now, I would say, a bustling metropolitan area. But back then, it was a little, itty-bitty, tiny village. It had been taken over by the Romans. It had been turned into a garrison for soldiers who lived isolated from society. Even the thought of a virgin living just outside a military base would have almost been laughable. But twice in this verse, we find the word Parthenos. Twice, not once, but twice. It means an unmarried daughter. The King James Version says espoused. The NIV says pledged. The Amplified says engaged. It comes from another Greek word, nestero, which means to be betrothed or engaged. In other words, she was spoken for. Jewish custom divided marriage into three stages. The first stage was the choice stage. Parents or a matchmaker. Matchmaker, matchmaker, you know that one? No, I'm not going to sing it all. Don't worry, don't worry. Would propose a suitable match. Very real in the Jewish culture. When we take our trips to Israel every 2 years, if we happen to be at the Sheraton Jerusalem where we stay our 5 nights that we're in Jerusalem, it's about 5 blocks from the old city. You can walk to the old city. And there on Tuesday night, Donna and I stood in the big lobby of this beautiful hotel. And our guide said, "You know what's happening here?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you see something strange?" And I looked across this beautiful lobby and there were all young men and young women in couples. And our guide said, "This is a night where these couples are meeting for the first time, the meeting having been arranged by their parents." I said, "You've got to be kidding me." He said, "No." And they knew they could meet at this hotel because it was fully kosher. And they knew they were in a public environment and everything would be safe and above board. The families would take time to become acquainted and approve, after which time they entered into the second stage, the betrothal stage. This stage lasted no less than what was necessary to make certain that the bride was not already pregnant. So it was a minimum of 9 months and usually closer to 12 months. During this time, they were bound to one another as husband and wife. They simply did not live together. Third, there was the wedding stage. This waiting period had elapsed, during which time the groom built living quarters, and they were now ready to celebrate their union with a great feast. So here's what we have in Luke 1:27. We have Mary, who is a betrothed virgin, waiting to celebrate her vows and consummate her union with Joseph. As we continue in verse 28, we see that the angel says to Mary, "You are highly favored." Charito. The word means graced with grace. Very interesting. This word found only one other place in all of the New Testament. Ephesians 1:6. "To the promise of his," same word, "glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." It's the idea of grace coming down and doing an absolute number on you. I call it grace in your face. It's kind of like God saying, "I am going to grace you." And when he says that, he is saying, "I am going to do something with you that you could never do on your own." Our first of four truths today: God has grace to get in your face with a miracle. Would you turn and tell that to your neighbor? Tell that to your neighbor. Verse 29 gives Mary's immediate response. Here's what it says. It says she was greatly troubled and wondered. The word for troubled means she was agitated. She was disturbed wholly. Every square inch of her being was disturbed, and she wondered. The Greek word means to consider or to muse or to think. The thing that struck me as I studied this was, this response was before she was ever told she was going to have a baby. You see, we say, well, she was agitated and disturbed because all of a sudden she's told that she's pregnant. No. You follow the storyline. She hasn't even been told this yet. What is there about us that gets agitated and disturbed when God enters the sphere of our lives? Maybe it's His presence. Maybe it's His power. What is He going to ask me to do? What's His request? I'm not for sure. There's probably dozens of answers to that question. But I want to say to every person here this morning, when God comes to you with grace in your face, you can believe it's going to be good. Okay, you didn't get it. Good preaching, Pastor. That was worth a hearty amen. Are you awake out there this morning? When God comes to you with grace in your face, I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself. When God comes to you with grace in your face, you can believe it's going to be good. That's true. That's true. I'm trying to preach it. I'm trying, okay? And that's why verse 30 says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" Second truth of four today, we don't have to fear grace in your face. And then without reading them, I can tell you what verses 31 through 33 are saying. Gabriel says five things. First of all, he says, you're going to conceive and bear a son and call him Jesus. Second, he'll be great and called the Son of the Most High. Third, he will be given the throne of David. Fourth, he will be the long-expected Messiah. And fifth, his kingdom will endure forever. And I think Mary's response in verse 34 is very, very understandable. She says in verse 34, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" The King James Version says it this way, "How shall this be seeing I know not a man?" Genesco. It means a firm, strong, absolute statement. Absolutely not. I have never slept with a man. So how can this be possible? How can this come to pass? By using this word, Mary is making a strong statement concerning her sexual relations. The present tense of this verse is describing her current status as a virgin, which clearly includes her past. She is in effect saying, how is this going to happen without a man? You see, I think that she was thinking, and I think she was about 2 months pregnant when this took place. That's as I've studied this, I believe that would be very close to accurate. I think that she was thinking, well, I know this can happen when we have consummation, when I have consummation with Joseph, but that's several months from now. That's more than a half a year from now. And Gabriel gives her a straightforward answer in verse 35. In verse 35, he says, the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God." In effect, he is saying, Mary, you're going to have a supernatural conception that doesn't involve a man. It involves the Holy Spirit. And without Mary given a chance to even say a word, Gabriel goes right back to say, "And if you don't think this can happen, Mary, think again. Because it's already happening." Look at verse 36. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month." Two words there that tells us something about her cousin Elizabeth. First of all, it says that she's in her old age. Now, I know it's not polite to ask a woman her age, okay? The word is geras, and it means old enough to be senile. Now, you can pass your judgment on that, you know. How old do you have to be senile? I'm not going there, okay? I think Leon's there, okay? Yeah, I really do. No, that was just a joke. This word, not the same word, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but the same root would be describing how old Sarah was in the book of Genesis. And that was 80. I'm not saying she was 80. I'm just trying to give you an idea. And then it also says she was barren, steria. It means stiff and sterile. She was a lady, very old, who was stiff and sterile. My conclusion, she was an old lady. Isn't that brilliant study, huh? Isn't that brilliant? She was an old lady. Past her childbearing years. In her 70s. Maybe 80s. And I'm not trying to imply that Elizabeth's pregnancy was conceived of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't. She was married, and she and Zechariah were still having sex in their old age. I wanted to say that, but I was fearful you'd think I was a dirty old man or something like that. It is not funny, Donna, okay? She wasn't at all concerned about getting pregnant until God entered the picture. Verse 37 is where we're going to stop our story. Gabriel has one more statement to leave Mary with, as she by now is, I suppose, really confused. And he says, "Mary, for nothing is impossible with God." The word means unable or passively impossible. And for the rest of this marriage, you can tell where my mind is, okay? For the rest of this message, not marriage, I want to talk to you about sex. No. It's getting hot in here. Man, it's getting hot in here. Whew. Would you turn the lights down or something? I want to talk to you about miracles. Good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching. Oh. Yeah. And some of you are sitting here and you haven't cracked a smile. You really need to loosen up, let me tell you. Okay? I want to talk to you about miracles. And I think in the next 15 to 20 minutes, your life is going to be forever changed. Let me give you a definition. A miracle is God doing something we cannot do on our own. If you can do it on your own, then do it. A miracle is doing something, God doing something you can't do on your own. Mary's miracle was, for nothing is impossible with God. And I want you to just sit there for the next few minutes. Nothing is impossible with God. Here we have the picture of Mary getting pregnant on a promise. It was 2 weeks ago today. We were between services. This is not a common conversation, an uncommon conversation, but not between the two Sunday morning services. We were between the two Sunday morning services. I go up to my office and drink a little orange juice and eat a cracker and some peanut butter and just kind of put my feet up for a few minutes. And I was telling Donna about this Mary's miracle message that the Lord was stirring in my heart. And Donna said something to me that is one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life. I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote it down. I'm going to give it to you in the form of a truth. The Holy Spirit makes us pregnant with the promises of God. Ooh. The Holy Spirit makes us pregnant with the promises of God. And when we get pregnant with a promise from God, that promise will come to pass. This idea is true of every given situation in our lives where redemption is needed. Is redemption needed in your marriage? Is redemption needed in your family? Is redemption needed in some sinful bondage that you're involved in? Is redemption needed in sickness in your life? Is redemption needed in an emotional breakdown that you're going through or financial setback that you're having? I want you to know you can get pregnant with the promises of God and that will bring redemption into your situation. It's God's divine program for the recovery of human brokenness. It is the bringing about of God's purposes in our lives. Now stop and think about Mary's situation. When and where did this redemption take place? I know we're quick to say, in a manger in Bethlehem. No, it didn't. It started in a womb in Nazareth. Close your Bibles, please. I want you to listen very intently to what I'm going to share with you in the next few moments. Redemption starts when we are alone. When we are available, when we are quiet, and when we are listening. It is in that kind of an environment when the Holy Spirit can give you a promise. And that promise will make us pregnant with the redemptive plans of God. What I'm saying to all of you this morning is that Mary's miracle can be your miracle. Our last truth for today. Miracles start with a living God releasing grace to us in our given situation. And as I began to think about this, the Lord revealed to me how this transpires in our lives. It really runs parallel to pregnancy. What was Mary's promise? It was, nothing is impossible with God. That was her promise. Nothing is impossible with God. And that promise had four stages that run parallel to pregnancy. Follow me closely. Stage number one, the promise was brought to her. Stage number two, it began to grow in her. Stage number three, it was delivered through her. And stage number four, it would change the world around her. Now you think of that in the physical. In terms of the physical, there's a time of intimacy where a seed is sown. And immediately when that seed is sown, life begins. When the seed is sown, life begins. Oh, you don't have life in terms of in your hands, but life has been started when the seed was sown. Then you go through 9 months of that growing in you. And I'm telling you, that 9 months is a time when you look differently. You are stretched beyond stretchableness. That isn't a word, is it? You walk differently. I walked by the nursery and I said to Sandra Rule, I'm going to use you as an illustration this morning. She said, you mean my pregnancy? I said, you're right. When Sandra Rule was pregnant with Julia, she was the most pregnant woman I've seen in my life. It was way out here. She walked like this. My wife said, I've never seen anybody as pregnant. She must be having six. She had one, okay? You shouldn't talk like that. Oh, Sandra being here, she'd be laughing right now. That's the kind of gal she is. And she had how many more? Three more? Two more? Maybe they got another one on the way. Three more, huh? I don't know. She would not be laughing at that, let me tell you. And when the time comes, when the time for delivery of the promise comes, it's not without pain, and it's not without its scary moments. And when birth happens, I got news for you young couples that haven't had children yet, your life is forever changed. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever. Now we move back to the spiritual. And it all takes place because of this truth. The Holy Spirit makes us pregnant with the promises of God. These are promises He wants to bring to you. These are promises He wants to grow in you. These are promises He wants to work out through you. These are promises that will come about in order to change the world around you. ...2012 has been a very, 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 very difficult year in your parsonage. If I knew last year, right now, what I know now, I'd say, could we skip 2012 and go to 2013? Anybody ever been in a year like that? Yeah. It was beyond difficult. Absolutely beyond your imagination. The pain, the hurt, the difficulty that has been at 3581 Jane Drive this last year. It was 21 years ago. Donna received a promise from God. Tell us about that, sweetheart.
Well, we've been in... Excuse me if I well up here. Because I'm tired. Been in a life trial for a very, very long time. But I'm here to tell you that as the angel came to Mary, if God will come to you, the Holy Spirit will come to you and whisper in your spirit what you need for that trial, that in His time, as the Word says, There's nothing that will stop it from being fulfilled. And so you have something that you can hang on to. But I want to say it was 20 plus years ago when we had to have a timeout from our oldest son. And he went and stayed at that time with our youth pastor's parents in a little town in northern Minnesota. And he was there for about 9 months. And we took him back again. And it wasn't long before we realized that we really hadn't gained much ground, that it was just beyond difficult. There was nothing that we could do that would work. It was just so, so hard. It was on a Saturday night that our youth pastor's parents came for the weekend to visit them. And we were just having a horrific experience on a Saturday night. And they asked for him to come over to their home and give us a break. We were coming to church the next Sunday. And it was so long ago, we were in Sunday school structure first. And then our service was following Sunday school. I sent the little boys on with Joel, and I was coming to church, and I was just beside myself. I said, I've been through 9 months of not having my child. I'm like, I didn't have him to give him to somebody else to raise, and this is going nowhere fast. What's up, God? And I remember bawling on the way to church so much that I kind of lost track of time. And I came, and our custom at that time was to meet downstairs. It wasn't finished. It was dark and gloomy down there, but the choir met in the choir room down there. And the staff all came up with the choir, and we sat on these God thrones up there with the choir. And I had piddled around so much in my pity party that the choir had already gone up, and there I stood down in that dark room. And so I stood there. I said, fine, God, you know, I'm not really worship material this morning to be sitting up there in front of everybody. So I was just bawling before him, and I'm saying, you know, why did I even have children? Obviously, you know, we're a piece of work that can't do this. And so I was just having a time down there. And I said, you know, I'm just going to slip up in the back row today. And so I did. I slipped up in the back row today, that day. And we had our regular great praise and worship time. And I remember the Holy Spirit came and spoke and said through a willing servant that there was no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Well, that got my attention. That made me feel a little healed. But on my way to church, I specifically asked the Lord to tell me that it was going to be all right. I said, if you can tell me it's going to be all right, then anything that I go through, I'll be able to sustain. If you'll just tell me that it's going to be all right. And so during the praise and worship, that word of no condemnation came, and that felt good, but I hadn't heard it was going to be all right yet. And we broke for our greeting time, and I had a woman that came up to me, knew nothing of our situation. And shaking like a leaf, she said to me, Miss Donna, please don't think I'm stupid. But she said, I'm supposed to come over here, and all I'm supposed to say to you is it's going to be all right. And she turned around and walked away. Well, there, I stood there, and I'm like, wow. But I have to tell you that the disbelief flooded me because we'd already been in a battle for 2 or 3 years that was just like crazy. But it was comforting to me to be able to know that the very thing that I asked of him, that he, through an angel, a woman in our church, doesn't even attend here anymore, came to me and delivered exactly what I had need of.
I wished I could tell you that everything's all right. That was 21 years ago. This year, that son started serving a 3-year prison sentence in the state of Illinois. We will visit him on Tuesday morning of this week. It'll be our holiday visit with him. It's been a real tough 20 plus years. On November 9th, I got a letter from a lady that lives in Monticello, Minnesota. We served for 14 years as associate pastors at Bloomington Assembly of God in Bloomington, Minnesota. That's a suburb on the south side of the Twin Cities, a large metropolitan church. This family grew up in that church, and when we were there, she was an elementary age girl, maybe by the time we left 27 years ago, maybe she was preteen, about going into her teenage years. So I suspect this lady is 40 plus. We have not talked with her or her family in 27 years. A letter came on my desk dated November 9th, Pastor Joel and Donna Stalker. Pastor Joel and Donna, notice the formality of it. I don't know if you will remember me, but you had a profound influence on my life. By the time I was old enough to be in the youth group, you were the associate pastor at Bloomington Assembly of God. What a blessing it was to grow up under your leadership during those years. I still remember the Sunday evening service. You encouraged us to come pray at the altar, singing, "Oh, how he loves you and me." Something was settled that night between my heart and my mind. An understanding that if he loved me that much, then every authority, promise, or word spoken in his word was for me. A great foundation of faith was laid during those young years of my life. You both have been on my heart for a couple of weeks. For whatever reason, I feel compelled to share the following story with you. I recently sold a business I owned for many years, Tender Time Learning Center in Maple Grove, Minnesota, with a staff of 36 and 127 children daily in attendance, infant through fifth grade. A couple of years ago, we enrolled a 14-month little girl, Michaela. Because of her severe epilepsy, she had not developed cognitively or in large or small motor skills that we would expect to see at 6 months. She averaged 15 seizures a day. No other center would take her because of the risk of liability, and so at the last resort, her mother and grandmother ended up at my door. The first day she was in our center, I walked into the infant room intending to discuss and write out a plan for Michaela's care. The teacher holding her had given her heart to Jesus a couple months earlier at a Christmas tea I invited her to. There were two others present. One was a Hindu and the other a non-believer. In that moment, I saw a child who would never live a normal life, would never drive a car, would never learn how to swim. If the brain damage was too severe, she would never sit up, much less walk. I told Renetta, the teacher holding her, I'd like to pray for her. She smiled and bowed her head. It was nap time, so most of the babies were sleeping. Both other teachers were instantly silent with curiosity. I laid my hands on Michaela and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this epilepsy, and in Jesus' name, I command epilepsy to go. Be healed in Jesus' name." Renetta looked up at me with a single tear running down her cheek and asked, "That's it?" I answered, "Yes, that's it." I instructed the teachers that if they had any questions, they could come back and talk to me. Then I simply turned and walked out of the room. Well, she's never had another seizure in her life. The following year, we opened up our Christmas program with over 600 in attendance, with Michaela's mother, tears streaming down her cheeks, as she told families and friends of the business, "You need to meet this Jesus who has healed my baby and changed our lives forever." Within 1 year, Michaela's development caught up with the other toddlers. The doctors are perplexed. She now runs, laughs, plays with other children. Her face expresses the joy that she is experiencing. Don't you just love serving a God who calls things that are not as though they were? I don't really know why I'm sharing this story with you. God has done many more miracles in my life. It may be that the Holy Spirit just wants to encourage you today, or maybe it speaks specifically to a circumstance that you and Donna are aware of. Either way, I have been praying for you in the Spirit. I'm just one of many people who love and appreciate you, and I am blessed to have had the opportunity to have you speak into my life. Love in Christ. Michelle. She sent with it a card. The card is a Zig Ziglar card that says on the front of it, "When you go an extra mile, you are seldom delayed by a traffic jam." And you open it up, And it says, Joel and Donna, thank you for all the extra miles yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I have been praying for you. Be encouraged. This is in her own handwriting. Everything is going to be all right, dot, dot, dot. That's everything, dot, dot, dot. Absolutely everything, exclamation point. So we've been given a promise. We are pregnant with a promise. We haven't aborted the promise. The devil can't abort the promise. Because God doesn't say things that he won't fulfill. And we get little glimpses of the promise being fulfilled. I'd like to introduce you to the mother of my granddaughter, who's been at Western Michigan Teen Challenge for the past 7 months. And she wants to take a couple, 2-3 minutes to share with you a little bit. Velma?
Well, I feel like a miracle. I should be dead. Probably for the past 20 years, I've just been living my life as one big party, and I've been through so much situations that, you know, I should be dead, and it's crazy that I'm not. I sit back down, I think of all the times that I should be, and it scares me more as the times that I don't know of when God has had his hands on me. But for some reason or another, he's watching me. I'm learning that now, what it is exactly. But I believe it's my grandmother's prayers, that is, her prayers have been answered, because she was praying for me when I was little. So growing up, I mean, the choices that I made were all my choices. I wasn't abused. I had great parents. Went to Catholic school. Went to college for 3 years. But I always felt this emptiness, this loss of sense of purpose, no identity, didn't know what I was here for. And just always really, like, sad and bored. And I filled all that up with dating and you know, men and money and drugs and just party, just, you know, just lost. I was very lost. I quit college and I started selling drugs. You know, I was in and out of prison for a while and just continued that lifestyle. Just was dating drug dealers and just partying. And this happened this went on for so long that, you know, I went to Las Vegas for a bigger party. That's just how lost I was. And then I met Ben, a pastor's kid in Sin City. I still don't know why he was there, but that's where I met him. And, you know, we and him got very close. We were very good friends for a long time. And then when I got pregnant, I met Donna and Joel. And when we moved back out here, we had, you know, stopped doing drugs, and we were doing fine for a while, but it was just, you know, we were still restless, still bored. There's something missing, always missing. I remember one time that I was so sad. It was even before Malia. And I was crying really hard, and I said, why do I always feel this way? And he just put me in his arms, and he says, Velma, we just need Jesus. And I just looked at him and said, what are you talking about? You know, I had no idea what he was talking about. When things got so bad, I had that choice of going either to rehab or going to Teen Challenge. And when I heard about Teen, well, I already knew about Teen Challenge, but when that was an option, I just felt such a peace about it. I said, you know, coming to this church, everybody here was such a light. And you guys had such genuine love and peace. And I said, what do they have, you know? I want what they have. So I have my sister to take care of Malia. I'll go. Teen Challenge has been, It's a phenomenal program. It's really, I finally feel such a such a sense of purpose, so much love and so much peace inside of me. You know, I don't feel that emptiness. I know for a fact now why he's had his hands on me, because he wants something from me. You know, he wants my mess to be a message, because I can help people that won't have to go through what I went through. I'm 40 years old, and there's kids out there that need guidance, need help, and they need to know about the Lord. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, I met Ben and I met Ton and Joel, because I would have never met the Lord, would have never met him. And I'm just, every day, I'm just thankful. And I'm being there, you know, in Teen Challenge, our chapel service is everybody there is just so grateful. We're up in praise and worship with our arms, like, just screaming, you know, because it just feels so good to be alive, you know, because we were so broke and so dead. And the presence of the Lord is so strong. The Holy Spirit is so strong in our chapel services that we're all weeping all the time. And that is better than any drug I've ever felt in my entire life. Entire life. And, you know, I haven't been able to, I'm really now just starting to be able to talk to Ben, because they wanted me to focus on my relationship with the Lord, which is fine. I left my decisions all to them. They've been there for 40 years, the people, the staff there. They know what they're talking about. They're just now letting me talk to him. And, you know, it's little by little, step by step. But, you know, I've really, really prayed on, is this who I'm supposed to be with? You know, and he keeps telling me that's who you're supposed to. I just don't see us meeting all the way in Las Vegas. I'm from Chicago. And, you know, me being here and me, you know, I just don't see it in vain, you know. And I told Ben, and we've been through the same things. When he was in Teen Challenge, I was in prison. Now I'm in Teen Challenge, he's in prison. It's just all these, everything that we've been through the same exact things. I said, Ben, there's got to be something about this. He's going to have this. Something good got to come out of all that we've done and all that we've seen and all that we've been through. And I just thank all of you for your prayers and your support. You guys were such a light to me, and you all were a part of bringing me to Teen Challenge and bringing me to the Lord. Thank you very much.
The Holy Spirit will make you pregnant with a promise. And then you've got to believe that promise no matter how long it takes. From the passage of Mary, Donna has a recipe card right in front of the sink that she looks at every day. And it's the statement about Mary after Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. And it's the final words about Mary, and it says this: blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. The Message says it this way: she believed every word would come true. I wonder how many people are here today, and we fall in one of two categories. Some of you have received a promise, and like us, it's still in process. It's still in that 9-month period, only that 9-month period has turned into 21 years. It's been a long pregnancy, let me tell you. But it doesn't change the fact that we're pregnant with the promise of God. And then I'm wondering how many others are here today, and you would say, Pastor, I'm facing a situation that I need to get a promise from God for. I need to get a promise from God. We're going to stand, and as Leon leads us, if you're in either of those categories, number one, you're waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, and you need to come and talk to the Lord about that. Or you need a promise. From the balcony and from the main floor, I ask you to come to an old-fashioned altar and do some business with God. Would you stand, please? As Leon leads us, the altar is open for you to come.
On mountains high, I'll praise your name. In valleys low, I'll do the same. And as a river runs to find the ocean blue, my heart will always run to find you. On mountains high, I'll praise your name. In valleys low, I'll do the same. And as a river, it runs to find the ocean blue, my heart will always run to find you.
Now, you that are at the altar, I want you to stay here as long as you need to stay here. You talk to God about that promise that He gave to you months, years, decades ago, if necessary. And you tell God, you're hanging on to that promise. You are going to believe every word of it until you see it come to pass. Those of you that are here and you say, I need a promise. I need a promise for my situation. Holy Spirit, I ask you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak now. To speak now. As we wait quietly. We wait alone. We're available. We're listening. Church, let's thank the Lord for that word. Oh Lord.
And God wants to bring beauty out of ashes. Some of you look around at different parts of your life and you see a pile, a heap of ashes. But look at those now and watch as God brings beauty out of those ash heaps. He makes something good and glorious out of those ash heaps. He breathes life, and He makes something new and wonderful. You might look now and see heaps of ashes, but look, and God will bring beauty out of those.
spirit of fear, power of love, and of a sound mind. Let not anyone deter you, seeking the face of the Lord.
I want everyone at the altar to look up here for a moment, please. After the angel came to Mary, it says that she got herself ready and she went to where Elizabeth was. I've studied this quite intently, and I think she probably hung out at Elizabeth's for about 2.5 months. I'll talk to you more about this next week, about Joseph's journey. She had to leave Elizabeth's about 2.5 months because Elizabeth was going to give a baby, bring forth a baby. And she couldn't stay there because all the relatives would come and they would see that she was pregnant and they knew she had not consummated her marriage yet. From the time she got the promise, hear me, she went into a space of 2.5 months where she sat on that promise and she soaked in that promise. You have a choice today. You can run out into your busy life and walk away from the promise, or you can let it take root. The real truth is, by your action from this altar, you will either, this is what the Lord, I believe the Lord has given me in the form of a prophetic word, you will either abort your promise or you will bring it to pass. And the choice is how you handle the promise. Now, next Sunday, Joseph's journey. This message is going to be incredibly helpful for you who've received a promise. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you in your dark days and in your bright days. It makes no difference. He who has spoken will fulfill his promise. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.